All righty. Thank you, gentlemen. Well, appreciate your ministry here. Hope it's been a blessing to you. Let's pray. Lord, as we open your word today, we thank you that we have the infallible word of God, inspired, preserved word of God, that we can look to for help. Lord, you have seen fit to give us your word that it might reveal to us what we need to know. And Lord, there's a lot we need to know. And I pray that this morning as we open your word, you would give me clarity of thought, give me freedom. May the word of God go forth in power. May we respond to the word of God the way we should, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, I guess it's been almost 9 years ago now, my wife and I and our two daughters had the opportunity to travel to Brazil on a family mission trip to work with the foreigners. And I'll be honest with you, we have flown quite a bit. My wife's folks live in Denver, and we fly back and forth periodically. Now we have a daughter and granddaughter in Florida. Don't really care about Joe, but we go to see them, and we fly down to see them too. So we've flown a lot, but I have never flown into a foreign country. And we were to fly into Sao Paulo, which is, I think, 20 million people, one of the largest cities in the world, to a place where I never had to go through customs before, never gone to a place where I didn't speak their language, they didn't speak my language. And I'll just be honest with you, I was a little concerned. I'll be not quite so spiritual, I was worried. You know, what if we get there and Graham's not there, you know, and we don't know anybody, we don't know anything, and we wander around this massive airport lost for hours until we die, you know? So we got off the plane and we came in and went through customs, and that was rather uneventful, and went through and things were fine. They let us into the country, and our passports were in order and everything, and we left that area and went out to the unrestricted area, and again, you know, I'm thinking, man alive, what's going to happen? And there he was, Graham Foran, right there. And suddenly, the worries and the fears were gone. You see, Graham speaks Portuguese fluently. He's been to the airport in Sao Paulo many times. And he took us and we exchanged some money, and he knew how to do all those things. And well, basically he said, give me your money. And so I gave him my money and he gave me the Brazilian money. But you know, I just had peace because he was there. And he knew what to do, and he knew where we were going to go, and there was no more concern. In fact, the whole time we were in Brazil, which I think we were there about 10 days, I'll just be honest with you, I didn't really have a whole lot of fears because Graham was always there. And he's there to help us. Now, as you go through this life, there are many times where you come into situations that are very difficult. And even we as believers, if you're a child of God, can be consumed with worry and with fear. Now, I want to help you this morning, folks, because as a believer, now we're going to talk, if you're here today and you're not a child of God, we're going to address that here in a moment. But let me just tell you, believers, if you are a child of God, we are not to be walking in fear and worry. Your favorite place as a believer should not be the psychiatrist's office. And your favorite medication should not be Valium. Okay? Now look, folks, as believers, we can have peace in a tumultuous world full of turmoil and trouble. There's peace. Now, you look around you today, and it's interesting. One of the things I typically do when I get up is I go to the computer and I check my email and things and look at the Yahoo webpage, and I look down through there, and we got people in Syria killing each other, and we got people in Kingsport murdering each other, and we got people in Johnson City because of Scotty killing each other. Our police are just not doing their job. And there's turmoil everywhere. I'm just joking about that part. But you know, there was a time when there was no turmoil in this world. And I want to start this morning by talking about the existence of peace. Now, we're going to get to the Bible momentarily, but I'm going to do a little speaking about Genesis 1. When God created the world on the first day, he created light and then night and day. And at the end of that day, what did he say? It is good. No turmoil, no problems, everything's in harmony. The second day, he created the firmament, and he divided the waters with the firmament. And at the end of that day, he said, it is good. No turmoil, no problems, no chaos, everything in harmony. The third day, he gathered the waters, the land appeared, and vegetation came into being. And God said, it is good. Now, if you're struggling with that word, it's the same every time, okay? It is good, all right? There's no problem. There's no turmoil. Everything's great. The fourth day, the sun, the moon, the stars, again, it is good. The fifth day, fish and fowl, again, it is good. The sixth day, animals and man, and still God said, it is good. And on the seventh day, he rested, and God said, it is very good. There was complete and total harmony. Perfect creation. The animals were at peace one with another. Now just stop and think about that. Now we read about the messianic kingdom, the lion laying down with the lamb. I believe that was going on here in creation at the beginning. There was total peace between the animal kingdom. Man was at peace with vegetation. Wouldn't that be a great thing? I am in a constant battle with weeds. And I've almost decided they're green, so let them go. You know? If you're a farmer, and many of you have been out planting your gardens and things, you're going to have a constant battle with that for a while. But you know what? At the beginning, there was no battle. God planted the garden. He made the stuff grow. And he said, okay, now you stay here and dress and keep it. But evidently, it was not hard labor because there was no sweat involved. I mean, perfect harmony between man and vegetation. Perfect. Man at perfect peace with the animals. He was in dominion over them. Can you think about this, folks? We think of cavemen as being stupid. I would challenge any one of you to get all the animals and to name them. That's what Adam did. Perfect harmony, folks. Everything was wonderful. Man was at peace with woman. That may be the most amazing of all of those. And by the way, I had an epiphany. I did. When I was studying, the Lord showed me something very clearly. The reason Adam and Eve got along so well is Adam didn't have a mother-in-law. Isn't that true? By the way, today is my 29th anniversary, and I'll be sleeping on the couch tonight. So I have a wonderful mother-in-law. But that just struck me as I was studying the deep things of the Word, you know. But just think, there was no marital counseling. I mean, everything was perfect. Everything was wonderful. Everything in perfect balance between man and everything else. But think about this. Now, that's amazing, especially considering our world today. But think about this, folks. There was perfect harmony between God and man. I mean, the Word of God says that every day God would come in the cool of the day and he would walk with them. Now, I don't really know how that occurred. I don't really know what happened, but I do know this, that Adam and Eve were able to walk with God and fellowship perfectly with God. Perfect harmony. God would talk to them, and they would talk to God. There was no hindrance to their fellowship. Everything was in perfect harmony. Wow. Wouldn't it be nice to live in a place like that? Unfortunately, there was an end of peace. There was an end of peace with God. Now, again, I'm summarizing a lot of stories that you know, but you know that the serpent, old Satan, came and tempted Eve to eat of the one, to do the one thing God said not to do. That's always amazed me. God said you can do anything. You can eat anything except just one tree. I mean, one prohibition. And of course, the serpent comes along and tempts Eve, and she disobeys God and eats of that one tree. And then Adam eats of that one tree. And it says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now this had happened a lot, hadn't it? But this day it was different because it says, and Adam and Eve did what? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The harmony was broken. It was broken. No longer could God walk with Adam and Eve. Something had come between them. What was it? It was sin. In fact, it was so severe that God said, you're going to have to leave this place of fellowship. And they were cast out of the garden. and cherubim were placed there with swords to keep them from coming in the garden. Why? Because sin had entered and the harmony was broken. The blessed peace was broken between God and man. Their sin had separated them from God. In Isaiah 59, 2, it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Let me remind you, folks, sin always separates from God. Whether you are a believer or an unbeliever. Now, I'm not saying you can lose your salvation, but sin will separate from God. Now, you say, well, man, I'm glad I'm not a sinner. I've got bad news for you. Romans 3:23 says what? For all have sinned. Now turn to Romans chapter 3. Turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. I want to read an extended passage. Romans 3 and verse 10. We will not understand how good God is to us until we see how bad we were, how bad the relationship was. Romans 3:10, we'll read through verse 18. As it is written, there is one righteous. Is that what yours says? That's what some of us feel like, isn't it? There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Now, folks, this is talking about you and me. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And notice verse 17. And the way of what? Peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Wow. You see, folks, you and I are, we are sinners. We've all broken God's law. And that breaking of God's law, folks, has separated us from God. And instead of perfect harmony and perfect fellowship, we have become actually the enemies of God. Now, that's an amazing thought. And you go to somebody who's not saved and you say, by the way, I want you to know God's word says you're his enemy. They probably won't appreciate that a whole lot. But that's exactly what God's word says. In Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind, the unsaved mind, is enmity, the enemy of God. It's in total opposition to God. Now look, folks. Perfect harmony existed in the Garden of Eden. There was no sin. They walked with God. There was perfect harmony amongst everyone in creation. But when sin entered, the harmony with God was broken. And man was alienated from God by his sin. But not only that, folks, but the perfect peace in the world was also broken. Now, nature is not in harmony, but nature is at war with itself. We have tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis and earthquakes. All the harmony that we had at creation is disharmony. And creation is battling against itself. What about animals? Now, we've got a fine dog at home. But she's a fallen animal. She is not in harmony with other animals. We were out walking last night, walking down the road. Another dog was coming down the road, and we said, oh, boy, this is trouble. And we pulled her way off the side. Why? Because the animals are not in harmony anymore. She's got one tooth on her left side. Graham called her right fang. It must be this side. Right fang. I won't tell you the name he used to call her. You can ask him if you want something. But there's no harmony amongst the animals, is there? And what about the harmony amongst mankind? It wasn't long after the fall that we have Cain, a son of Adam and Eve, kill his brother Abel. Why did that happen, folks? Because sin had entered in. The harmony was broken. And Cain became an outcast from society. And folks, everywhere you turn, it's going on today. Everywhere you turn. There is news of rape and murder and robbing and fighting and conflicts and wars and suicides and bombs and executions. Everywhere you turn, folks, there is disharmony and disunity, the world is a mess. Now, that's the end of the sermon. No, I'm just kidding. Aren't you glad that's not the end of the sermon? Well, some of you may be saying, yes, it is. I want to go home. That's not the end of the story, folks. Finally, I want to give you the establishment of peace. Now, here it is. First of all, man's fellowship with God has been broken. Now, there's great news. If you're sitting here today and you've not repented and turned to Christ for salvation, there is an answer. You are an enemy of God. You are separated from God by your sin. But hallelujah, there is a great answer. You can have peace with God. If you are unsaved today, you are under the wrath of God. He that believeth not is under the wrath of God at this point in your life, but it doesn't have to be that way. Here it is. You can leave this building and no longer be under the wrath of God. What a great truth. How can it be done? How can you have peace with God? Well, hey, let me tell you, first of all, the source of peace with God is not you. You see, mankind wants to restore their peace with God, but they want to do it on their own terms. Well, here's the problem. What caused the disharmony in the first place? The disunity. What caused it? Sin. So for you to get rid of that, you've got to get rid of sin. Good luck with that. Can't be done. But you know what? That is exactly what most people in the world are trying to do today. They are trying to be good enough to meet God's standard. It started, by the way, all the way back with Cain, where he disobeyed God. He did not offer the sacrifice of the lamb. He offered his own work, his own vegetation, his own work, his own fruit. And folks, it's been going on ever since there. It continued with the Tower of Babel. It continues today. And you know what, folks? The majority of people in this world today are trying to please God by their own efforts, and they're doomed to fail. In Hebrews, Paul said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look, if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what, Gary, I know that I've got a problem with God because of my sin, but I'm going to fix it. You're headed down a trail and you'll never have success. Cannot be done. Cannot be done. Romans 10:3 says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. What is God's righteousness? He's perfect. He's perfectly holy. But see, they're ignorant of that, and they're going about to establish their own righteousness because they've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of Christ. Now, here's the great news. God, over and over again, the Word of God is called the God of peace. In Romans 15:33, it says he's the God of peace. In 2 Corinthians 13:11, it says God of love and of peace. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says he is called the very God of peace. Hebrews 13:20, again, he's called the God of peace. Here it is, folks. He made a way to restore the peace. Now, this is always what's amazing to me. Who caused the problem, God or man? Man. But man is unable to restore the peace. And so God, who is the God of peace, told the angels, hey, I want you to go down in the world and proclaim that there's going to be peace on earth. And then he sent the Prince of Peace into this world, and he took the chastisement of our peace upon himself. What a great story. Isn't the gospel wonderful? That Jesus Christ, God himself, left heaven's glory. And he came, he lived a perfect life, and he died to pay for our sins so we could have peace with God. And by the way, there is no other way to have peace with God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And here's what happened. One of my favorite, I wanted to preach on this morning, but last time I preached on this, so I couldn't do it again. When I came to Christ and I said, I am lost, I am a sinner, I deserve to go to hell, and I realized that Jesus came and died for me, and I asked Jesus Christ to save me and to pay for my sin, when I did that, the moment I trusted Christ by faith, I became a child of God. My sins were forgiven, and I was robed in the righteousness of Christ. And I met God's standard. And folks, I stand before you assured that heaven will be my home someday, not because I'm so good. My wife will give testimony if you want to after the service. 29 years, she knows it's not so. I'm going to heaven because Christ was perfect and he died to pay for my sin. And when I got saved, he clothed me in his righteousness. And when God sees me now, he doesn't see my wicked sin. He sees the righteousness, the goodness of his son. And he's satisfied. Satisfied. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, over a couple pages. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 20. If you have an old Schofield reference Bible, you've got a little number 2 above that. It says the reconciling work of Christ. Two parties that were split apart have been brought back together. And look at this, verse 20. And having made, what's the next word? Peace. Through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him whether they were things in earth or things in heaven, and you that sometimes were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, that's righteous or perfect, and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Wow. What a wonderful thing, folks. And here it is in Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified or made perfect or righteous by faith, we have what? What does it say? We have peace with God. Wow. A person who is at enmity with God, the enemy of God, can turn by faith to Christ and he can have peace with God. He can have fellowship with God. He can talk to God and God can talk to him. And someday he's going to go to heaven because the sin penalty has been removed. What a great truth. What a great truth. As Jesus said to the lady he healed, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. Wow, peace with God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have peace with God? The only way to do that is through Christ. Are you a child of God? Has there been a time in your life when you said, I am a sinner. I am bound for hell. I deserve it. And you turn from that, you turn to Christ, and by faith, you placed your faith in him. And you said, Jesus, save my soul. And he saved you, and he changed you, and you have peace with God. Do you have it? All right, if so, I want to go on to the next one. Not only has God moved to restore peace with him, but folks, he has moved to restore peace in this world. Can you have peace in this wreck of a world today? When it's all falling apart around you, can you as a believer have peace? Well, again, what's the source of peace? Well, if you just had a little more money. What is the man who has lots of money? What does he want? A little more money. You know, make my first million. Oh, if I just had 2. Well, you know, if I just had 3. We say we'd be happy with 1, but we wouldn't be. Well, I know, I'll turn to the government for peace. Good luck with that one, I tell you what. If your security is in D.C., you are in big trouble. Well, you say, I know, I'll turn to meditation, you know, hum, and I'll find peace. That won't do it either. In fact, what's going to fill your mind is all the problems. Well, many turn to drugs and alcohol. Jeremiah said, they say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And Solomon said, I've tried it all, I had it all, and it's all empty, it's all vanity. There is no peace in this world. My friend, God can give you lasting peace. You can be here today as a believer and be going through a terrible physical trial, a financial trial, a family trial. It doesn't matter what it is, folks. You can have the peace of God. Now, your question should be, how? Okay? Last 3 points. Here we go. You can have peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first key to peace is the very same thing I gave my introduction. When Graham Forum showed up, I had peace. Why? Just because he was there. And I want to tell you, folks, as a believer, that you too can have peace because the Holy Spirit of God is indwelling your soul. He is living within you. You know, it's interesting. Toward the end of his ministry, Christ called all the disciples together and he said, look, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave. John chapter 14. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. You see, everything was all right while Jesus was there, but he was leaving. And they were troubled. And he said, look, don't be troubled. I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. Someday you're going to come and join me. But if that was the end of the story, we're still in trouble because we don't have peace till we get to heaven. But I've got good news. He said in John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. What is that word? Some of you know that word. It's paraclete. You know what a paraclete is? It's some of you athletes are thinking, you know, two shoes. Okay. That's not what paraclete is. All right. A paraclete is someone who comes alongside to help. And Jesus said, yes, guys, I'm leaving. But I'm going to send somebody who's going to come alongside. And my presence is going to be with you. And he's going to be there to help you and to give you peace. And he is called the paraclete, the comforter. And it's interesting to me, folks, when you are indwelt by the Spirit of God and you allow him to control your life and you walk in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, he will produce some things in your life. What does he produce? Love, joy, peace. And so a believer who is walking, being controlled by the Spirit of God, can be in any situation and have peace because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. What a great truth. What a great truth. The presence. In Hebrews 13, 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not, what's the next word? Fear. That's the opposite of peace, isn't it? He said, I'm not going to fear what anybody can do to me because I've got the Lord with me in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. So you can have peace because of his presence. Secondly, turn to 2 Peter, just a couple pages over. 2 Peter. The neat thing is, when Preacher Lashley was pastoring, I had to edit 12. Since Pastor Jody, I can edit 12:15, so I got lots of time. I won't go that long, believe me. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All right, he said, look. God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Here's the second thing. First of all, you can have peace through the presence of God. Secondly, through the promises of God. The promises of God. This book is full of them. I think of one of the stories we're going to use for Bible school. We're studying the life of Paul and running the race. And I think the third day, we're studying Paul in the ship in the storm. One of my favorite words in the Bible. The name of the storm was?
Euroclydon.
Isn't that great? What a storm. And they've thrown everything overboard and they're about to go under and things look terrible. And God shows up and says to Paul, hey, if everybody stays on the ship, you'll all be saved. And Paul went to the men and he said, hey, guys, be of good cheer. Have peace. Why? Because God has spoken to me and I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And my friend, this book is full of promises for you. Full of promises for you. And God has a promise for your situation. no matter where it is or what it is. And the Word of God, folks, if you'll get the promise of God and you'll camp on it, and you dwell on it, you meditate on it, guess what you're going to get? Peace. Peace. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which have a lot of money. Great peace have they which have no health problems. Great peace have they which have a perfect family where everybody loves each other and it's wonderful. No. Great peace have they which love thy law. Folks, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. If you're here this morning as a believer, you don't have peace, hey, I want to remind you, God is with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He knows what you need to do. He will direct you through his Spirit. He'll show you through his Word, through the Spirit of God. But I also want to remind you, folks, that the book is full of promises. It's full of promises. And if you will set your mind on the promises of God, you can have peace. Let me give you one more. Presence of God promises, thirdly, look to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. And our favorite admonition in the Bible we don't like to hear. Here it is. Be careful for nothing, which means don't worry. Paul, how is that possible? Well, he said, instead of worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when you do that, what happens? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or garrison about your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And what a picture, folks, of a believer going through a trial. And they come and they pray and they take their burden to the Lord. And as the men sang, they don't pick it up and take it with them. They leave it there. And what happens? Like a fortress, the peace of God just surrounds you. And the doubts and the arrows of worry come shooting at you, but that shield around you of peace just keeps you at peace. And you go through your life and you just have wonderful peace, and people see you and they think, how in the world can she have peace? How can he have peace? They won't understand it because it's supernatural. Folks, as a believer, you can have the peace of God in your life. Now, the conclusion is real simple. Here's the question. Do you have peace? Do you have peace? First of all, do you have peace with God? In other words, are you right with God? I was talking in Sunday school and mentioned that even as a believer, we can have peace with God for our eternity, for our salvation. But if we allow sin to creep back in our lives, it breaks our fellowship. Not a relationship. We're still children of God. But just like when you were growing up and you disobeyed your parents, I guarantee you there was no peace in that house. And that happens to us as believers. You were still a child. You weren't disowned. Well, they may have wanted to, but they didn't. And until something was done, there was no peace. Do you have peace with God? And then secondly, let me ask you, believer, do you have the peace of God? As I look around this congregation, I see people, some of you with great needs. And I would never try to minimize your needs, but we can maximize our God, and our God can give you peace. Our God can give you peace. And if you will remember that you have the very presence of God in you, working to produce peace in your life, you have the promises of God you can rely upon. You have prayer that you can use to touch heaven. And you can have peace. You can have peace. If you don't have peace with God, He's standing there today with His arms wide open. And He's saying, come to me. Come all you that labor, heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. You can have peace with God. If you're a believer and you've wandered from God, He said, if you'll confess it and forsake it, He'll forgive you. And you can know that sweet peace and fellowship with God again. And if you're right with God and yet you're struggling and you're in turmoil and trouble in your life, I want to encourage you, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. And you can have peace. Even in the midst of a storm. And like Paul, you can say, be of good cheer. It's going to be okay. I believe God. It's going to be all right. And you can have peace. And my, what a testimony to a lost and dying world when a believer can have peace in difficult times. What a testimony. Do you have peace? If not, it is there for you. It's available. It's available. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you this morning that we can have peace with God. That we can have the relationship restored. We can have fellowship with God. We can walk with God. And I thank you this morning that we can have peace, the peace of God. Even in difficult times, there can be peace. And we can be resting in our Savior. And I don't know hearts today, but you do. And I've tried to present the word faithfully, Lord, and I'm asking you now just to help us as folks to react and respond the way we should. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let me ask you two questions. Number one, has God spoken to you and said, hey, you don't have peace with God. You don't have peace with God. And God has spoken to you and you say, Gary, today I realize I don't have peace with God, but I want it. I want it. I there are some things between me and God. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're a Christian. You've allowed sin to creep in your life. But God is speaking to your heart and you're saying, oh, today I want to get peace with God. If you're saying that in your heart, I would love to pray for you. I will not call your name. I probably don't know your name. I will not embarrass you. But if you'd let me know that just by raising your hand, just slip it up. Say, I need to get peace with God. Amen. I see that hand. Someone else. I need peace with God. I don't have it, but I want it. I need peace with God. Anyone else? Very quickly. Let me change the question. Do you have the peace of God? You say, Gary, today I am certain I have peace with God, but boy, I don't have the peace of God. And I need to claim His promises and rely on His presence. And on prayer to get peace. And today, I'm calling out to God for God to give me peace. If you're saying that in your heart, would you just slip up your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Say, I don't have the peace of God. Thank you. I see that hand. But I want peace of God today. I need the peace of God. Anyone else? Join this one. Say, oh, I need the peace of God. Tell me what I'm going to do. In a moment, I'm going to have the ladies play. That's our invitation. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, 113. And if God has spoken to your heart and you need peace, whether it's peace with God or the peace of God, I encourage you to come and get in the altar and talk with God. You know, God is not like us. He is waiting you with open arms. And if you will come to Him and repent, you can have peace with God. And if you'll come to Him and pray and beseech Him and claim His promises, you can have peace in the midst of your storm. Let's stand together. Your eyes are closed. Your heads are bowed. The ladies are playing. You say, Gary, I need peace. Won't you come? Let us take a Bible and be an encouragement and help to you. I don't have peace, but I need it. I need peace with God. I need the peace of God. Folks, God is here to help you, but you've got to let Him. Won't you come? ladies are praying in the altar. Do you need to join them? Peace is available for you. It's available. It's here. You can have it. Will you come? Will you turn it over to Christ? Sing that chorus.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace from the Father above.
You may look this way. Aren't you glad? What if the message of peace with God was only to a few? You know, if you have a certain intellect or a certain amount of money, then you can have peace with God. No, whosoever. And aren't you glad that the peace of God is available for every situation? What if I'd had to preach and say, peace of God, sorry, Scotty, not for you, buddy. You can't have it. Either Nick back there. You guys can't have peace. No, it's available for everybody. It's no matter what the situation is, you can have peace. And the folks come this morning, and I know there's some folks carrying some heavy burdens. Come unto me, and he'll give you rest. Give you rest. There's rest and peace. And Kelsey, the Shaw's granddaughter, is coming this morning. If you want to stand there, Kelsey, and Judy can stand. Joe, you can stand too. There you go. We'll get a whole crowd. Everybody else is standing. You might as well join them. And Kelsey made a profession of faith as a child and had some doubts about that and got it settled Monday night. Got saved Monday night, and we praise the Lord for that. You have peace with God now. Amen. Now, by the way, the devil doesn't want you to have peace with God. And he's going to try to cause you to doubt and focus on yourself. And the key to that is to go back to the promises of God. We all have to do it. And you go back and you say, wait a minute, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called, so he's got to save me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I believe, so I got to be saved. Okay? So you keep running back to the promises of God. That'll give you peace. Continue to have peace. And we're excited for you. That's exciting. Great. Well, we are delighted to have each of you tonight. Preacher Lashley's back in the pulpit, back in the saddle. He's preaching in Eastside this morning in Greenville, but he'll be preaching for us tonight. Hope you'll be back with us. Be praying God would bless in that service. And if you're a visitor for the first time today, make sure you make your way to the Welcome Center. We have a gift for you, and we're just excited to have you with us this morning. And Lord bless you as you go, and you are dismissed.